Last time on Wanderlust. Tetti has just scampered off, leaving you alone in Bug City.
I'm not specifically looking for anything. I'm just kind of curious what bugs would sell.
You hear a commotion. It's almost dizzying to watch this very complex display of color and motion from these bugs as they fly around each other, flashing different colors and more in like increasing complexity until one of them makes a misstep, falls to the ground, and then it's over.
I think she'd be looking for if they've depicted the Great Strider, and then any landmarks or sky or anything like that.
You're not much of an art scholar, and you're like, there seems to be a motif of giant six-legged walking insect.
Okay, I don't think we knew that. Okay.
What do you mean?
I don't think we knew it had six legs.
So you asked for the mythic age. The way that the strider that you are currently sitting on is depicted in all the drawings is very, to your eye, deified. Like, if there was going to be a god that you would pick out of these drawings, it would be the Great Striders. And then a knife hits the wall right next to your head. Who sent you to come get me?
Were you still in Smoky Banks when the storm hit?
Honestly, I don't exactly know what you're talking about. Okay. I left very quickly.
There was a pretty bad storm there, and we think we found it.
All right, so, you know, when I climbed onto the back of a giant bug, I really figured this must be the furthest place from Smoky Banks I could possibly be.
This may be a really weird question. Did you see its face?
The great strider, the big thing.
Yeah.
I think it was really high up and it was raining. So yeah. Kind of. Okay. Do you want to see it?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
I'm curious if there's a way we can communicate with it, if it's doing the same thing with the colors. I want to know if you're able to see, is it actually like physically looking for something? We're trying to figure out why it went over to Smoky Banks.
So that we can divert it.
Did it step on Smoky Banks?
More or less, yeah.
Oh, I should not have left.
What? Did you do this?
No, I didn't do this.
Well, then why are you acting like it's your fault?
It's not my fault, but I mean, I kind of lived there for a while. I feel bad. I don't like the sheriff, but he, you know, like, there aren't that many people that are good in a crisis, all right? All right, so I'll warn you, the weather's not great, and, gets pretty hairy out there, so I guess if you have wet weather clothes and grappling hooks, now's the time. Following Maul out of the Great Strider's back colony is at first... What's up?
Before we go outside, can we leave our stuff somewhere so all of our stuff doesn't get soaked in the rain?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. You can kind of leave it in whatever hidey hole Maul had her weird bug armor in.
Yeah. So I take my, like, climbing gloves and, like, grapple equipment, you know, stuff I would use for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll bring my rope.
I leave Guffy behind.
When you leave Guffy behind, Maul hesitates for a second and goes, can he not climb?
It depends. I don't know how sharp of an incline this is going to be. And I'd rather...
Oh, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, okay. Then no.
Gotcha. She starts leading you out, and you kind of have to go through a chunk of the city and then back out. And as you walk through, it's one of those... moments where you kind of like look around and watch this thing just happening, this colony all living around you as it seemingly doesn't care about you and is largely ignoring you. As I said before, it's largely not these somewhat upright crickets. It's mostly builder beetles or smaller bugs that are doing constant maintenance or almost just living in these spires that have grown up all over this city. But the sort of blank coloring of all the stone around you and the shine of it, the opalescence of it, makes it look very rainbow-hued as there are all these floating fireflies bobbing around through the city. It's really a massive place, and as you look up, you kind of have that, like, head-spinning vertigo as you realize how high up this goes and how much movement there is around you and how in time all of it is as these colors of bugs and insects all swirl around you, most of them flying, some of them crawling, emitting light and musical sounds. And when you have a moment to just kind of sit quietly and listen to it, it is mostly all in the same key. And you might hear more basic melodies coming most of the time, but occasionally you do hear more complex notes and streams of music playing out over this whole thing that seems to be moving in time with itself and in time with that steady thumping of the Great Strider. But you get led up one of these tubes that leads basically straight up. So you get to a sheer face that leads into a tube, and you can see there's like some water trickling down it, like from the storm. And Maul goes, okay, so here's how this is going to work. We have to climb up this tube. This is the shortest one that actually leads to open air. A lot of these tubes are open at the top, but they go through all these weird channels, and there's like purification bugs up there that are really nasty to clean the air. It's weird. Anyways, so we're going to climb up this out the top, and then we'll have to kind of rappel down the other side of it. Now, the good news is this stuff is really sturdy, and it's actually pretty grippy in the water, so it shouldn't be too bad, but lots of climbing, so be careful. So who here is not super comfortable climbing?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's my best trait, but I can do it.
Same. Yes.
So I'm going to assume, Autumn, you're just... totally.
Oh, Autumn's already gone. She's already down at the bottom.
I think Autumn is like two handholds up. What? Oh, yeah, no, I'm good.
Wait, are we climbing up or down?
You're climbing up and then down. You're climbing out of a tube and then back down the side of a tube. Oh, I mean, okay, then have fun. Don't die. I'm not, this is not like a chaperone thing. So if you fall, you know.
I'm not worried, but thanks.
Tuck and roll.
Plan B, learn how to fly.
Estelle is spotting Autumn, basically, because she's also very comfortable climbing.
Okay.
Wait, now that I think about it, Juliet, do you want to tie a rope to me?
Oh, sure.
So Autumn comes back down, the two handholds.
Juliet ties a rope.
Do you have a rope with you, too? Is there anything you don't have with you?
Do you not have a rope?
Do I not have a rope?
I brought so little into the wilderness, and one of the things I have is a rope. Didn't bring a flashlight, brought a rope. That was the first time out.
I do have a rope. It's just not easily seen.
I'm sure I'm missing some things. Definitely missing some things, but I had a packing list. It had a rope on it.
I have a question. This is going to seem mean, but I'm actually curious. Do you have the packing list on the packing list? Like, list of things to pack. The list.
No, and I feel like you're making fun of me for that.
Only a little. Only a tiny bit. Just a bit.
But I have it here, so. And I can make copies, like I did for Autumn. If you were intending to come back to Smoky Banks, which it sounds like you're not.
Remains to be seen.
Autumn is already climbing again.
All right, bye, Autumn! She goes over to Fred and, like, ties a rope to him and then to herself and is like, all right, so, this is gonna be fun!
Looks like it.
So we just climb, we just start climbing once they get a decent way up?
Yeah, so this is where you guys all gotta make some checks.
Okay.
Wait, how is Estelle? Is Estelle just free climbing? She doesn't have a rope at all?
I guess I'm just free climbing. No, I don't have a rope.
Do you want to tie yourself to me and Juliet?
If there's more rope, like, I don't.
I brought my rope as well.
Okay.
So, we can be a chain.
Yeah.
I guess Autumn would be in the middle. I think Autumn would be in the middle. With her skill, she's least likely to fall and strongest. So if either of you guys were to fall, she would be, you know, halfway between, you know.
Well, and Estelle's definitely doing, like I said, the mom thing of, like, making sure everyone else gets up before following.
Cody, can I use physique? Is that a decent?
Physique's fair, yeah.
Okay. Not good.
Okay, so Cat Lion rolled a 4. What did Estelle roll?
3.
What about Autumn?
4, and I have grapple gloves to give me shift.
Okay. And what about Fred?
Do you want the truth, or do you want me to make up something?
No, the truth is fine.
A 0.
Makes up something. -3. Dang it!
So, this gets very claustrophobic pretty quick. I would say the three of you that are roped together, so Autumn, Juliet, and Estelle, you very quickly get to the point where it's sort of difficult to keep moving up just because of, like, you know, you'd expect to be like, oh, we'll all kind of climb near each other or whatever because there are the ropes. And it's like eventually you're kind of having to go single file, like really single file, making very small movements as your back is basically hitting the outside of the tube. About the further you get up, the more you can feel like rainfall slipping down this column. It's getting like wet on all your handholds, but you do notice that it's pretty sticky. Like, whatever this material is, it does actually grip pretty well as you're climbing. Way beneath you, so in terms of the order, Estelle, you said you went last, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll say that you're basically right behind Fred, right? So when that narrowing happens, right, and it gets at its thinnest, Fred, you still have an axe. You have an axe, right? And that axe is hot?
I mean, yes, I have an axe. It can be hot.
So I'll say there's, like, some residual heat, and basically what happens is you, like, bump up against this, and your axe, like, taps it, and as soon as it does that, that part starts to dissolve, because basically what we said last time was this stuff is very heat volatile, right? So if you heat it up a lot, it turns into, like, wax. So your axe hits that, and you, like, slip your grip and you start sliding down and you're not falling per se. And as you're falling, you're like basically falling towards Estelle. And I want Fred and Estelle to both make some kind of notice insight checks.
Composed or danger sense?
I'll give you composed on this one. It's not danger.
You sure you don't want to give me danger sense?
In this case, yes. Yes, I'm very sure.
All right. It's a +2.
Okay.
A 0 again.
Gosh.
I'm not rolling well today.
Something you notice for metals.
So, Fred, you like come up short as you like feel yourself hit the end of the rope. And Estelle, as you're looking up, you like swear you could see something metallic unslithering itself from him and going back up the tunnel.
Unslithering itself from who?
Fred.
Huh.
So you guys make it the rest of the way up with, you know, no problems. Fred, you're just a little sore, but, you know, something managed to catch you. You didn't knock anyone off. You feel okay.
When we get to the top, Estelle turns to Fred, because I assume it's like a second to, like, breathe. Like,
yeah, so you guys get to the top of this, right? So you, like, break out over the surface, and this tube is actually pretty wide at the top, so, like, maybe 18 inches wide. And as you get to the top, you can kind of like sit on that ledge for a minute, and it's a little bit precarious as you're very clearly swaying back and forth with the steps now, and you're out in the rain. So like once you get to the top, it's pouring on your heads. It's immediately pretty loud from the like constant drum of the rain. It's dark all around you. You can see lightning striking as you move, you can see, like, clouds bunching up in front of this thing as it pushes through the atmosphere.
Estelle's gonna turn to Fred. Fred, did you lose something from your pack?
Fred is going to check. Did Fred lose anything from his pack?
No. No.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, maybe it was just my imagination then. I thought I saw something, sounds bad, but like slither away. And it looked metallic, so I assumed it was something from maybe something that you were carrying. But we're probably just really high up and I'm just seeing things.
Was the way, Cody, like when I slipped, did I like fall any distance?
Yeah.
How far did I fall?
Let's call it 15 feet.
From in my like mind, how did I stop falling? Like, how did I catch myself? Or did something catch me?
So technically, you were roped to
Maul.
You were roped to Maul.
Okay.
But you were above me.
You were above her, yeah.
Right. I just didn't know if there was anything unusual about how I stopped falling. That...
With a zero? No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. No, that's perfectly fine. That's okay.
All right, so this is the significantly less fun part. Basically, you can walk on the back of that great strider, but we basically have to rappel down the face of this thing in a storm. So, sorry.
How many times have you done this before, Mal?
A few. I gotta say, curiosity got the better of me. And as much as I want to fun you guys for asking if I made any scientific discoveries, I am not immune from curiosity on what exactly this thing is, because this is a weirder thing that I've seen.
I can sympathize with that.
Also, like, if we're being completely honest, I feel like everything here is a scientific discovery, so it's kind of a redundant question.
Yeah, some of it, for sure. Some of it's really strange, and usually I can slip in and out of things like this pretty easily. This one's been a weirder one to adapt to, so, you know.
Autumn starts climbing down.
Oh, you're just going. All right.
She was, while you guys were all sitting, being there, she was coolly, like, hanging out with her grapple glove, like, looking out.
Like Spider-Man.
Yeah, she was basically Spider-Manning the wall of this, because...
Yeah, good luck trying to slow her down. We've tried. It doesn't work.
Hey, I did a good job slowing you down. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, thank you for that. I'm glad to have not fallen.
It's no problem. We all slip at times, and if it happens again, I'll grab the rope. Don't worry about it.
See? Good plans.
I had it this time. I had a plan. I thought it through. I just seem like I don't have a plan.
I know. I'm saying it's good.
I guess if Autumn's going down, the ones who are tied to her are going down,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so another roll.
Yeah, so is this the part of the game where I have to roll to see if I do it again?
Yeah, yeah.
is there a way we can use fate points to re-roll our dice, right?
Yes.
Cool, I'm doing that.
I am, too.
All right, so Juliet, 2.
One.
Estelle is a 1.
6, and I still have my grapple gloves.
Dead gum, and Fred.
+2.
Yeah, that first roll was a -1 for me. So
mine was a 3, but I figured as we're on a slippery slope and Autumn is trying to be the anchor, I'm like,
you guys are making your way down this, and now you're in open air, in motion. You're swaying back and forth. There's thunder crashing around you.
Yeah, that's nauseating.
And frustratingly, Autumn and Maul are, like, walking next, or just, like, climbing down next to each other, just, like, talking casually as they descend down, just, like, whatever. And then there is what feels like an earthquake as lightning actually hits the surface of the Great Strider, and it just shakes, just, like, seems like it takes a body blow. Y'all lurch, and everyone except Autumn and Maul are immediately thrown off, and then it, like, catches slack on the ropes, and you all swing back down. I'm gonna say all of you take 1 physical strain from that, and now you're basically just, like, free-hanging at this point, right? So, first thing is Autumn try to make a check to, like, pull Estelle and Juliet back onto, like, the surface of the thing.
Would athletics work for this?
Yeah, athletics would work for this, yeah.
That's a 4.
You're wearing gloves, right?
Yes, I still have the grapple gloves.
So can I clarify something? So were Maul and Autumn at the bottom of the pack? Like, they went first, and then we fell, and now we're below them?
Yeah, so, like...
Okay.
Well, I imagine you guys being below them, but it kind of doesn't matter.
Oh,
you
okay.
Slipped, and then basically your ropes grabbed you and slammed you against the wall, which is,
right,
like,
okay.
Taking 1 physical strain from basically hitting...
Because they were taut. Yeah.
The wall... Ooh, and then I'm actually going to make a roll, too. It's not something I typically do, you know? Make rolls.
Special occasion.
Ooh. So, I rolled bad, so I'm gonna apologize for that, Fred. So, you manage to, like, keep yourself anchored, and you, like, grab on and start trying to, like, hoist them back against the wall. You're, like, kind of swinging them out and then back into it so they can get a chance to, like, catch handholds. You guys manage to, like, scrabble your way back and get yourselves, like, hooked onto the wall again. You're like, huh, all right, good. And then you look over, and Maul and Fred are just gone. So, Fred, to your perspective, and this is a little bit of an open-ended question, there's this huge shake. You, like, slip, right? You swing down, your rope catches, you hit the wall, and you're like, ow, that's a cracked rib, ow. And you feel tension on the rope, and then the tension just goes away, and you're just dropping. What do you do?
He's gonna try to get his axe and stick it into the wall. And you know the thing that pirates, that like in all the pirate movies where they use their sword to slow themselves down on the sail? Like to with their sword in the sail? He's doing that.
Gotcha. Okay, make me, you know, an attack the wall check.
I love it.
Now, what do I roll for that? Fighting?
You know what? Honestly, I'll give you fighting because you described it as a pirate going down a sail.
Oh my, you can use a fate point to reroll, right?
Yeah, you can use a fate point to
reroll. I rolled four minuses, so no, not taking that roll.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Fred dead.
Okay, a blank is better than nothing. That is a plus two.
Okay.
So I'm gonna say you take, like, another physical strain as you slide down. Like, you do manage to do this, but it's not graceful. It's like every bump you hit in this, you're like, because you're like smashing your way down the side of this. And then you're like, realize, like, I don't know where the bottom is. I don't know how fast I'm going. Then you just like hit, right? And you like go down, you tumble, and you like hit a crook in this, and you're like, ow, you know, but you live, you know, well enough.
Is Maul with me?
Not right now.
What's the tension on the rope like?
It dropped, right? It just gone.
Oh.
Okay, but when he stopped himself, did it reappear?
He stopped at the ground.
He hit the ground.
Like the ground.
And the rope is just, like, in a pile around you.
Oh, okay.
Maul, you down here? You okay?
When you say that, you hear, like, a very faint voice just go, are you dead? I'm guessing you're not dead.
No, I managed to slow myself down just enough, but doesn't matter. No, I'm still alive. Where's her voice coming from?
It's in, like, you're in a storm, right? So it's pretty faint, and the surface that you're on is very craggy and uneven, but it's just kind of, like, 30 feet away, like, in a dip in the surface.
Ah. You said this is a pretty uneven surface. Is it dark?
Yeah, it's dark and stormy. Yeah, you're like in the middle of a thunderstorm.
Oh, good. So, like, am I on the ground, like outside on the ground now?
No, you're on the back of the Strider, yeah. But you're the lower part of the back of the Strider, right? If you imagine there's basically tubes growing out of the back of the Strider, you're at the base of those tubes.
Okay. I try to head for Maul, where Maul's voice is coming from.
So you crawl your way over towards the voice, and you eventually find, like, a pit that, like, when you put your hands on it, it's crumbling, like, cracked, like something's impacted. And you see Maul kind of, like, shouldered into the pit, and she's sort of, like, half sitting up, just like, you know, plan B, learn to fly. Thought that was a cool joke. Turns out, learning to fly is hard. As she's kind of, like, stumbling to her feet and, like, very clearly limping.
We left all our stuff, didn't we?
Yes.
Dang it.
You've got a rope, right?
Yeah, we'd have that rope, which I took with me before. Cody says, oh, you didn't grab it. Yeah, I'll have grabbed that rope. I'm trying to think if there's any of the stuff in my pack I would have taken with me.
I will say, unless you specifically left it, you can have it with you.
thing is, I wouldn't have taken, like, the bed sheet or the extra set of clothes, which is exactly the things I wanted. Fred would not have taken that with him down here. I was trying to see if there's something I could make into, like a splint or something for her ankle or whatever might be broken or sprained, but I don't think I have anything.
Okay. So, a few minutes later, all of you get to the bottom. You find Fred looking a little, you know, winded and scraped up, and you see, you know, Maul in a pit. Learning to fly was a stupid plan B, I can admit it.
Are you alright?
No, definitely not.
Well, what hurts?
All of this?
Yeah, I'm gonna say probably all of it. We did fall quite a far away.
Specifically my leg. I think I messed up my leg.
Can you put weight on it?
She kind of, like, winces as she does and goes, technically, yeah.
So, I'm gonna say, Cody, because this, I think this makes sense for Estelle. I think she would have taken Guffy's, like, harness.
Yep.
And basically just thrown a couple things in there, including the first aid kit.
Oh, okay, sure.
It's like a mini backpack that you can take with you.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. Or like a, what did everybody wear in the 90s that's coming back
now? Fanny packs.
Fanny pack, yeah.
Wait, they're coming back? Ugh. They need to stay dead.
They wear them differently now, though, Zach.
Zach, you have a fanny pack. You just wear it.
No, I have a MRRS.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Functionally the same thing is not the same thing.
It's functionally the same thing, Zach.
I'm going to quote Deadpool.
Okay. I'm going to
quote Deadpool. It's a fanny pack and you know it.
Okay. If we can get her up here, I can bandage up her foot or whether her ankle or wherever it is that's hurting when she puts weight on it, but how do we get her up?
Well, I've still got the rope.
Is the Strider moving?
She's not that far into a pit. Yeah, yes, the Strider is still moving.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys could, like, drag her out of the pit and try to, like, fix her leg a little bit.
We can definitely patch you both up once we get back on the Strider, but I don't want to miss...
You're on the Strider.
Wait, what?
By ground, we mean Strider.
Oh, okay.
Like, we fall off a pillar. And
we're in, like, a divot in the shell.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. When you said ground, that's what I thought at first. And then you said ground, and I was like, oh, okay, we are on dirt.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, so there are spires growing out of the back of the Strider, and you went up one of those spires and back down it, so now you're just on the back of the Strider.
Not on
the colony that's on the back of the Strider.
Okay. Yes.
But yeah, you can drag her up and, like, try to fix her leg if you guys want. Which I think is Estelle has the med kit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is there any way I can assist?
Let's see how the roll goes, and then we'll see.
Do we need to drag her up first, or is that just...
Yeah, that's, like, negligible. She's not, like, 20 feet down.
Okay.
It's like she's in a crater, not, like...
Okay, so I don't have a specific first aid, but I do have a surgical, which was my, like...
Oh, yeah, that can work.
...intent for what that should be.
Okay. Sure.
So that is a plus 3.
And then you get one shift from using the med kit, so I'll give that a plus 4.
Cool.
So you start feeling around her leg, and, ooh, plus 4 you said, right?
Yes.
So you start feeling around her knee, and you can, like, feel, I don't know a lot about medicine, so I'm gonna make some stuff up here, and if I'm wrong, sorry. You can feel like it's dislocated, you know, so, like, the knee's out of socket.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. The kneecap can, like, get out of the tendons that hold it there.
Yeah. And so, like, that's something that you can set and then, like, brace so it can heal before it, like, really has weight put on it again unsupported.
Yeah.
But as you're feeling around, the vague thing here is it feels wrong. Almost like it's had, like, a knee replacement done. Like, you can feel, like, I'm trying to think of what the word is for, like, a new ball joint. You know, like, people can get, like, a knee joint replaced?
Yeah.
It feels like she's had her knee replaced, which I don't think would be that unusual in your world. That might be pretty cutting edge, but I think that probably exists medically.
I think when Estelle can, like, feel that something is different, I don't think she says anything right away, but I think she, like, looks up at Maul and does that, like, kind of, like, poking around that, or, like, you know, she's clearly, like, around where that would be as, like, a and like eyebrows raised, you know, like
she just goes, yeah, it's not a dog knee.
Cool. I was gonna offer you painkillers.
So while Estelle is doing this, Juliet is gonna start just kind of like asking her questions about like what she's seen in the bug city to kind of distract her, because she kind of knows like what's coming. So have you spent a lot of time in the main hall with the reliefs on the walls? Do you know anything about those?
Yeah, that they have all their like recorded history, seems like. Yes, I've, you know, just like took some sketches, I guess, you know, or, you know, tried to record some of it.
Oh, me too.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Well, I took rubbings, but yeah. Is there...
So did you, like, put paper on the wall and, like, rub it with chalk, basically? Or, like, charcoal or something?
A pencil, yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was trying to determine if there were any landmarks or maybe celestial features that were depicted there, but I didn't see any. We kind of maybe scared Teti off with the idea that they are not from this planet?
When you say that, she just goes... Hard to tell when there's always storm clouds, and then I'll say that's where there's, like, the crack of her leg going back into place, and she just goes, I think your friend's vaguely unethical.
I don't know what you want me to do when I'm on the back of an insect, and all I have are some wraps, and I can... You have a wound. I can't clean it. Here. And she, like, tosses two pills into her lap. Take that. And then she starts wrapping up the knee.
She takes the pills and goes, is there like a canteen of water on your list?
There's rain. Open your mouth. Like, I don't care right now. I don't have my water bottle with me.
Mandy, I was thinking the same thing.
Is it good therapy to just annoy your wife in character so that way you don't have to do it in real life?
Pro DM tips from Cody.
Make a character that annoys your wife so you can annoy your wife in game and then not do it in real life.
So, trying to diffuse the tension, Juliet like looks at the knee. She's like, Estelle, that looks really good.
Thank you, Juliet. Hopefully that feels better, but seriously, take the painkillers. You'll at least be able to walk without straining.
She grumpily takes the painkillers and is like, caveman's dry swallowing pills like from the past, you know?
Do you have a water bottle?
No, I don't have a water bottle, all right? I forgot it. I just didn't think to bring it because I didn't think I was going to break my leg and have to dry swallow pills.
Yeah, we're climbing. It's whatever. Where are we going?
Well, I guess we're kind of, and I don't mean, I feel like I'm going to sound snarky here, and I actually don't mean to in this case, I promise. We're actually here. This is the back of the Great Strider. It's generally, like, kind of moving that way, and you can kind of feel the lurching. Like, there is a trajectory that you're going in. So I guess its front is that way, but its front is weird-looking, so it's kind of hard to tell. But we can try to make our way over there, and you can see what you can see.
Can I see where we are geographically? Like, can I try to see what direction we're moving in?
You can, but I will say it is going to be very difficult. You are well above the tree line in the dark. In a storm, on a moving creature. So this is, like, gonna be tough.
Will, three do it?
I'm trying to remember. You're moving north, and, you know what? I'll give you this tidbit. You can, there's, like, a brief break in the clouds. I'm gonna give you this tidbit because I've been asked it a bunch of times. You see a brief break in the clouds, and you can see familiar moons above your head.
Okay.
Like, through a brief tear in the storm.
Okay. That's not surprising that we're still on Earth, or...
We're still in the same solar system.
Well, we're still on our planet, because we see familiar moons overhead.
Mm-hmm. Right, that doesn't mean the Strider's always been here, yeah.
So I guess my theory of Stargate to moon base...
has been disproved.
But I'm more of Stargate, they Stargated to us, and we Stargated somewhere else, so... Multiple aliens. Stargates.
I think we start heading towards where the face would be.
So, scrabbling over this, it sort of feels like lava rock, you know, broken and volcanic, as you can see places where the inside of this colony was very meticulously formed. It's beautiful and smooth. The outside, clearly no one is ever looking at. So it's just like rough stone, cobbled mess. You can see where like chunks of things are kind of like growing on it. So there's like moss, even some small vegetation that's growing up here. It's way more porous and gross. It almost feels like you're walking across tide pools, as there's like at times 3 foot deep puddles that you're like having to step through as you're making your way across the crust of this thing. And it's a pretty long walk, right? So we're talking an hour of scrabbling over this and kind of getting like scraped and bumped until you finally get to where there's sort of a sheer drop off. And you're just looking basically straight down, and you can just see these two big spidery, not really spidery, sorry, like, you know, just like thin and back jointed legs plopping in front of you as this thing moves slowly. Not slowly, as it, like, the legs seem like they're moving slowly because they're so huge, right? So it almost looks like you're looking in slow motion as this thing just thump, thump, thumps along.
So is it, when we look out, do we see storm? Do we see landscape? Do we see what?
If you were to look down, I mean, it's high enough and there's enough rain, it would be hard to see the ground.
Okay.
Because, like, you're pretty high up still.
So does it just look like we're kind of in the middle of the clouds? Like, we're flying, essentially?
Basically, yeah. Okay. Yeah. This would seem like you're in the middle of a fog bank. And it's dark and rainy. But occasionally, yeah, there's, like, you know, strikes of lightning, and through those you could maybe see, like, flashes of this thing walking over trees and just kind of smashing its way through forest.
I've never been one for meteorology before, but this is incredible.
You know, I didn't think I was somebody who was, like, nervous from heights. I think this'll do it. I'm kind of glad that it's foggy and rainy enough that can't really see the bottom. I'm not going to keep looking down.
Yeah, I can say for sure a plan B of learn to fly is actually not a great way to handle falling. Better plan Bs are smart decisions here when on the back of a this thing.
Stormwalker.
That's a good name. It's a good name for one of these. Yeah.
That's what we call this one. I came up with that one.
So, would we have to, like, look, like, over and down to see its face?
You don't necessarily know where its face is. You're making an educated guess.
Okay.
You're on this thing. You're near its head. What do you want to know? Like, you can ask me specific questions and we'll do a roll.
I want to know if it does the same color thing that the others are doing and what color it currently is. I want to know if it has obvious eyes and if they're, like, looking for something. Or if it is no eyes or clearly blind and is just, like, making its way around.
I see what you're getting at. I see what you're getting at.
Can multiple people do rolls or no?
I will say this is, I think I like those questions.
I was going to try to notice something else, but if that is not.
Oh, do you want to add to the list of questions? Go for it.
Yes. I want to know if, like, above the din of storm noises, if it's making any music.
That's good. That's a good one.
Okay, so this is, all right, so this is what's going to happen. You can try to get down and see its face. It's not immediately apparent from here. That being said, what we'll do is this is a time when people can make aspects if they want to try to benefit this role. But basically what you guys are going to have to do is try to lower Estelle down over open air to get to the level where this thing's head is. Because you're basically, if you're imagining this, you're basically standing on the top of its neck or on the top of its head trying to see its face that would be looking down.
Yeah.
So you have to get low enough to actually look up into its face.
Okay.
I'll make an aspect for Estelle.
I'm going to say, I think Autumn's going to be a strong,
best equipped
to make a good physical aspect.
So is this aspect going to be like your like solid anchor?
That is exactly what it's going to be. I'm like, I want to make the aspect of anchored. I rolled a 6.
Okay, cool. You make that aspect real good.
I also want to try to make an aspect by taking some of the rope and kind of tying it in a more complicated way to be like a harness.
Okay, sure.
Crafting. Use that crafting.
Yeah, the thing I'm good at.
As you guys are doing this, Maul walks up to you, Estelle, and just goes, "So plan B, learn to fly. It kind of worked for me. I'm still alive."
"Don't worry, Estelle. Plan A hasn't failed for us yet."
Great. I appreciate the confidence, Maul.
It's not a lack of confidence. This is super dangerous.
Oh, I'm aware.
So I did not roll particularly well, but it is my crafting, so it's still a 3.
I will say that also successfully makes that aspect. Estelle, you're making a roll. I will say this is very difficult, and added shift is added information. So as you start, backing your way up and, about to drop over, Maul walks over to Juliet and just goes, "You know, I really get why someone has to make a lot of lists for you guys. This is stupid. This is really bad."
And I jump.
All right, make a roll.
What is the roll? Is the roll for physical, or is it
your, make me, a look at the monster roll, and then you can add those two aspects.
As she jumps off, Autumn's mumbling, "Of course she gets to be the storm goddess."
Animal handling or danger sense?
Animal handling, yeah. You're trying to learn something about an animal.
And the aspects give you a +4, Mandy.
I think I've got the highest roll so far. That's a +8. And you want to know what I rolled?
0?
I rolled 2 blanks, a plus, and a minus.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
It's a good skill for you.
Animal handling's really good.
You zip down through what feels like nothingness, right? As you're being lowered, Autumn's feeding you line, your harness is holding you safely as you're just kind of swinging. There's storm thundering and crashing all around you, and you can just kind of generally see motion and vague insectoid undulation as you can see giant hunks of armor moving over and sliding over themselves until you come down level with what you can only see is a face through the strikes of lightning, right? There's this one burst of lightning and you see this blunt face, seems generous, set almost recessed into this giant shell that is this creature's upper body, right? As you can see its shoulders sort of working these giant legs. And you're just getting flashes of this face through the lightning, right? So it's hit of lightning and you're catching just little glimpses. And the first thing you see is hit of lightning, milky white eyes, almost like cataracts, right? And then there's another flash of lightning and you can see what would look like the back of cricket legs. So these giant, because crickets make noises by rubbing their legs together, right?
Uh-huh.
So you could see something that would look like it is meant to vibrate or slide, it's its own musculature and organ that is this external vocal cords basically. And you can see that they've been damaged, there is huge claw marks torn through it. You can see its mouth is hanging open as there is a steady stream of bugs pouring in and out of it, bringing largely plant life into its mouth as this thing is lumbering across. So what you've learned is that it seems to be blind, it seems to be wounded, and there is insects keeping it alive by feeding it.
Well, poor little thing. And by little, I mean massively huge.
Okay, Estelle does a tug on the rope.
Okay, Autumn will pull her back up.
Yep, so you reel her up with relative ease, you know? There's all this complex harnesses and stuff making it easier to, get a purchase on her weight so you're not just, dragging her up, you know, spine bent. It's pretty straightforward to hoist her back up onto the back of this creature.
Was it amazing swinging down there?
I didn't look down. If that answers your question, I... A little terrifying, honestly.
Well, you did great.
Thank you. But I do think we've got a few more answers. It's definitely blind and definitely wounded. And it looks like they're just trying to keep it alive.
That could explain why it's off course.
That's what I was thinking, is if since it's been blinded, I'm guessing it doesn't know where it is.
It can't circle the, or run the same circuits that the rest of the group is.
And it can't communicate. It looks like it appears what is damaged is some vocal cords that seem to be on the outside. They're like external vocal cords, so it can't speak.
Does it look in pain? Or is it just like, look like it can't speak?
I guess maybe like is it an old wound or a new wound, right?
Old wound, I would say.
It didn't really have an expression per se. So it definitely looked like an old wound, but its mouth was just kind of like hanging open and there was a steady stream of bugs bringing it different plants and things, like it's feeding it. So it's just, you know, it's blind, so blank eyes, but the eyes aren't even trying to look anywhere.
Well, I don't suppose we can give it a Kalimba.
What if, do you think Fred could make some, Fred, do you think you could make something to like a prosthetic for it?
What type of prosthetic are we talking?
I guess replacement vocal cords?
I mean, I'd have to know how those ones work first, but I mean, I could always try.
I mean, if we talk to, I'm sure Tetty knows.
That's what I was thinking. If we can talk to Tetty, find out a bit more about how their anatomy works.
And we wouldn't even have to install them because they have bugs that could fly up there and then the bugs could glue them on to where it's broken.
Cody, can I retcon something?
Depends, but probably.
I have a camera. Can I have taken pictures of this?
Oh, sure. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you rolled really good, and I would say that would be not difficult to do.
It also feels like something I would have done.
Yeah.
Yeah, Estelle will kind of show Fred. I zoomed in like as much as I could to try and get it, but this is kind of what we're looking at. I don't even know where you would start with something like that.
Where would I start with something like that? Like, is this even possible to craft a replacement of?
Fred, you are the best craftsman I know. If I were to rate you on a scale of it, I would say you have like a +5 in craftsmanship.
You say I'm the best craftsman you know, but am I the only craftsman you know? I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying.
Don't ask questions you don't want the answers to. Do radio shows count as a craftsman thing?
I don't think so.
Then yes, you might be the only one I know.
Building this seems... Okay, do you want me to pull the curtain back on this a little bit?
Sure.
Go for it.
Building new vocal cords for an animal is not something that I considered you guys suggesting. I don't dislike it as a notion, but it's not something that you could, like, whip up in a weekend, right? This would be an ongoing project.
You've got a week till it comes back to Smoky Banks, right?
Well, to me, I thought of it as a thing that, like, a long-term goal for our group that we could do, like...
That is not unfeasible. It is not the immediate thing that you need to do right now. I don't want to, like, shoot down that idea. It's just not one that I had thought through ahead of time. That's why I'm, like, taken aback.
Yeah, my thought was Fred doesn't have, like, the tools or materials to do something this complicated, but it's something that we could do for this giant bug and for this society.
Making, you know, replacement body parts is not a new concept to you guys, and that requires, like, material crafting as well as biological knowledge. Something that you guys technically have as a group, so it's not an insane thing to think might be able to happen.
And Autumn has the enthusiasm.
Yeah, Autumn has enthusiasm right now. I don't want to hate on the idea, but it's, you know.
I don't want to hate on the idea, but it's a stupid idea.
It's not a stupid idea. It is, in the immediate sense, pretty unfeasible because you have, like, this would be... making something the size of a house that produces noise, you know, it's big.
Oh, that big. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is huge. So this wouldn't be, like, this big.
It'd be like fixing an organ. Like a pipe organ.
Yeah.
And this is a literal organ.
Right,
yes.
Yeah, it's fixing a pipe organ in a storm with no scaffolding.
While it's moving.
And might bite you.
But they did it in How to Train Your Dragon, so...
Not pipe organ size,
not
again.
Not pipe organ size, that's true.
But, okay, so anything... Anything else we're doing while we're out here on the back of the Great Strider?
I don't think so.
Okay. I'll say that we don't have to, unless there's specific things you want to do while you're making your way back in, we don't have to, like, RP out making your way all the way back in.
At the top of the smokestack, is it still in the clouds?
Mm-hmm.
Or can we see out better?
You could see better, but what are you looking for?
Can I see smoky banks?
No, you're walking away from it.
Well, I don't know if we could see lights from it. I don't know how...
We're far. We're really far.
You'd be pretty, pretty far away at this point. And Smoky Banks is not that big of a settlement. So you're a ways out. It's a good question. The answer is not no because that's a stupid question. It's no because the answer is practically no.
Hey, you're good. I trust you. I don't think you're a mean DM.
When we're going down, Estelle wants to keep her eyes out for, like, anything slithering and glittery.
Okay. You don't see anything. Everything seems normal.
Cool.
When you get to the bottom, right? So you hit the bottom of this. You're looking down over Bug City again, right? So you're kind of, like, if it's a bowl, you're at the edge of a bowl, right? So you're kind of set up a little bit. So you can see spires rising above your head in the city, but also you can see down into, like, the market area. And then in the center, there is that one large, very ornate, opalescent spire that seems, like, grown and twisted. This, like, very beautiful structure that has all these fireflies floating around it, casting it in this multicolored, in this, like, you know, multicolored luminescence. And as you look down in that direction, right, like, kind of towards the heart of the city, you both see and also can hear this sort of fanfare approaching you, right? So there's this, suddenly all of the swirling in this city, or all of the, like, motion in this colony is, like, peeling away and guiding your eyes in one direction. It almost looks like looking at magnetic, like, waves all pointing in at one place. As the builder beetles are all now suddenly scurrying in a pattern around this formation walking towards you from the heart of the city, the sound all kind of starts to unify at once. All of these things that were at once building and scurrying on the walls to maintain them suddenly stop and are all watching, looking almost in reverence as a small cohort of these crickets start making their way towards you. It's maybe length of a football field away from you at this point, like slowly making its way towards you. As it does, the motion isn't just as simple as a straightforward walk. It looks like a dance moving towards you, this very intentionally methodical and complex dance moves its way towards you. As these crickets take flight and land, their colors shifting and playing across them, the melody coming towards you extremely complicated. It's dizzying to look at, but also very beautiful as it makes its way across towards you. You can see that Teti is in that like group of people making its, or group of insects making its way towards you in this very complicated dance. And as it gets like halfway towards you, Mo glances down at her hand, looks up at it and just goes, oh, well, this is going to get really freaking weird here in a second. And she starts like rummaging in her pouch, smearing colors on her face. And you see her starting to try to like somewhat match the song that's playing as she's like looking down at her hand and trying to make weird screeching noises. I would just say look green at this point. That's all I can really help you with.
Autumn and Juliet are not green anymore because we were out in a rainstorm with chalk.
Yeah, some more chalk.
Yeah, that's back at the place. Autumn doesn't have her stuff with her.
Oh, I thought you just had it in your pocket. No, you don't.
It would have, if I did, it would be soaked through. We were out in a pouring rainstorm.
Yeah, I think Juliet just like puts her rain jacket hood up and like puts it in front of her face.
Does she not still have her mask that she had had before?
I don't know if she would have it on her.
You guys want some goop? I have green goop.
Yes, maybe. Yeah, that would be great.
He just like starts like taking handfuls of it and just like smearing it on your face, just like, yeah, it's gonna be fine, don't worry about it. Just seem nice, sing a nice song.
Well, thanks.
Estelle nudges Fred. I think we looked out.
Yeah, I never really thought about my skin color until now, and I'm definitely glad to be green.
You know what? She looks at Juliet, she looks at Mom, sees the goop, she's like, I think I'll take confusion. I'm good with that.
Yeah, honestly, that might work for you. When they look at me, they just see nothing, so whatever. This dance gets, pretty close at this point. You can clearly see that Teti is moving through this complicated series of steps and flies and patterns of color and song. The other prominent cricket moving with Teti is about a head taller and much broader. Its appendages seem far more muscled and less spindly. Its coloring is decidedly consistently like a deep red that's almost becoming purple. And eventually this procession stops in front of you. Maul kind of like squawks something and then sort of like looks at her hand, looks back up, tries to squawk something else, and then just kind of backs up awkwardly. I did my best, sorry. Teti goes, I don't know who that new one is.
She's a friend.
She sort of speaks very well and very bad. Her cadence or accent is very confusing, but pretty good, actually. Can you all speak my language that well?
Unfortunately not. Mal excels in this regard.
She's very adaptable.
We will get to that later. There is not a great word for it, but commander, superior, or maybe controller would like to speak with you. Obviously, that will be difficult, so I will translate.
All right, let's go.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.